ready for opening day?
Oh, Joe's born ready. Absolutely born ready for opening day. It's one of the great days of the calendar year. Very excited. It should be in April, but whatever. We're not going to.
Yeah, May 27th feels a touch earlier. March.
March
27th April's feels
when
a touch
it should
earlier.
Be, but that's fine. Yeah.
At least 2001.
At least it's not at a 40-degree, you know, Fenway Park. At least they decided not to open it up at home this year, I appreciate that. But
that'll be next week.
No, opening day is fantastic, and the team actually has some positive juice. Even when the team stinks, opening day is fun. The team should be good this year, so it's double the fun.
If the opening Thursday of the NCAA tournament is the holiest of the high sporting holy holidays,
yeah,
this is up there. Opening day is a good day.
Opening day, yeah, NCAA tournament, WrestleMania. These are like the big days around the
Mount Rushmore of best sporting days.
Yeah, I would say those three divisional round weekend in the NFL.
Now we're talking.
Yeah,
I think we filled it out.
That's the big four.
Jones and Keefe on the Red Sox opening day. I should differentiate from opening day.
Oh, the major leagues have already played two games.
Which
yeah.
took place like a week and a half ago.
Right.
Halfway across the world.
Correct.
You can weigh in all day. 617-779-7937. That is your phone and text number for Jones and Keefe. You can interact all day long on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. We're through to the Final Four in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket, or at least we'll be announcing our Final Four matchups later on today. You can watch twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and chat. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch, and you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. And I'll tell you, Keith, right off the bat,
yeah,
jam-packed, wall-to-wall opening day here on WEEI. It might be too much.
We might have too much planned.
So at high noon, we always put something on the clock on a Thursday. We'll give you our full-on Red Sox season preview in just 60 seconds.
That's it.
Keith's preview, Jones's preview, that'll be at high noon. We'll talk to Rob Bradford, as we do each and every Thursday. That'll be at 11:30. Get his thoughts on this roster. We'll also give you our Major League Baseball season predictions.
Woo!
World Series matchup.
Yes!
MVP. How many All-Stars for the Red Sox?
Love it.
Okay, so we'll do that before the hour's out. And I saved the best for last. We have our dong pool draft.
We have been talking about this for a long time.
Well,
and today is finally
on the air,
day.
Off the air.
Ah. So each guy on the show is going to draft four sluggers, and we're going to keep track of it all year. We'll do like monthly check-ins to see how everybody's doing, but whoever smacks the most long Johnsons wins. Now, I don't know what the winner gets. I'm not sure what the loser should have to do. We can kind of determine that as we go. But today is the draft.
So we have five men, four picks each.
Uh-huh.
20 in the pool.
And also added...
As many dogs as you can handle.
And added wrinkle. So we had the Jones and Keefe Combine.
Yep.
Which went poorly for ya boy. But Billy came in first. You came in second. I came in third. Nick came in fourth. Terp came in fifth. So based on that, we're allowing Billy to decide whether he wants to go first or fifth, because we're going to do a classic snake
draft. So we don't even know where we're drafting yet. It's all up to Billy.
I know where I'm drafting.
Well, that's
third.
True.
But yeah,
third either way.
But Billy's going to throw a curveball right at the start of the draft, whether he's going first or fifth, and we'll go from there.
Can't wait. So that's at 11 o'clock sharp. Don't miss it. Oh, and I miss one too, as the text line points out, at 617-779-7937. Thank God the random baseball player of the day is back today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So that'll be in the grab bag. I'd say 140-ish. We couldn't possibly throw more at you here today on Jones and Keefe. Let's start with what Alex Cora had to say yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. We heard from Sam Kennedy this morning on the Greg Hill Show. We'll get to that as well coming up. But he confirmed what we already knew, that it's going to be Rafi Devers at DH. It's going to be Alex Bregman at third base. I think we have a good feel for what the lineup is going to look like. We got into this a little bit yesterday, Keith, with the ESPN predictions. MLB.com might be even more bullish on the Red Sox than ESPN.
Holy smokes.
They're getting a lot of love.
A ton. Yeah.
Some might at least ask the question, are they getting too much?
It feels like it's too much. Now, I don't think it's to the point where they're the favorite, really, and it's to the point where there's a lot of pressure. We had a caller the other day say that. They're like, well, there's going to be like a lot of pressure on them. I'm like, well, I'm not sure they're there yet. Like, they made some really key additions. I think they're a playoff team. You think they're a playoff team. But they won 81 games last year. They only have three real starters to start the year in the rotation. The bullpen is still kind of up in the air as to who the closer is going to be. So I think they have some things to work out. But I do like their lineup, and I like their first two starters. Well, I guess their first starter and their third starter, because Houck's going day too. So I have a question about him. No, but I like the two new starters, I should say, and I like the lineup quite a bit. And to me, and this isn't always the best way to do it. Like when you're looking at, you know, should this team be even a World Series contender? You should really look more at the team than the opponents. But when you look at the opponents, like, I'm not really blown away by anybody else in the American League. I think if they were in the National League, maybe there'd be a little bit more like, hey, make the playoffs, that'd be fun, and then just sort of see what happens. Because you have the Dodgers, you have the Phillies, you have the Braves. Whereas in the American...
Three World Series caliber teams, if you pay attention to our tiers, yeah.
According to us. But yeah, but if you're in the American League, and if someone's like, oh no, the Red Sox are getting too much hype, I'd say, okay, who do you like? And they're like, well, it's definitely going to be the Yankees. Without Gerrit Cole, without Juan Soto, with Luis Gilhart, like, it's definitely not them. Like, or it's definitely the Rangers, or it's definitely the Astros. You can poke as many holes in those teams as you can in the Red Sox. So I feel like there's probably five or six teams in the American League really fighting for it, and they're right in that mix.
So when I say there might be too much hype around the Red Sox,
yeah.
I'll give you an example of it from MLB.com, but it is the first time in a while they have to deal with real expectations. And whether they're already feeling the pressure or not, they're probably not. It's opening day. It's the first game of the season. Like, I think most of the players on the team, especially guys who have been here for a little bit, are probably happy. People are interested and paying attention and excited for the season. And certainly, you know, the Sam Kennedys of the world are very excited for that. But you lose three in a row, you're going to hear about it this year. You know what I mean? Whereas the last couple of years, it's like, oh, whatever. We didn't really believe in the team in the first place.
Yeah.
We didn't really care about the team in the first place. That's going to be different. And so I don't think we're going to find any of that out today on opening day.
No.
But just know there's actual expectations for this team, which means there's actual stakes. And if you make a run, we're all going to be on board and we're all going to go nuts for it. If you come up short from these increased expectations, you're going to hear about it. And that makes the Red Sox interesting, like truly interesting, for the first time in a while. You know, 2021, we were just talking about this with Greg, and I got the year right.
I'm shocked.
It kind of came out of nowhere, 2021. You know, that run for sure kind of came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So when's the last time they had real expectations? 2018? When they had gone to the playoffs a few years in a row.
Thing. Yeah.
They had just brought in Alex Cora. They fired Farrell. Like, there were real stakes to that. Like, I think that might have been the last time they had real, genuine maybe coming off the World Series in 2018, but it's been a while since there were real consequences, stakes, expectations for this team.
Yeah, because for the last, really since 21, it was play roughly 500 baseball, be a game or two out at the deadline, not pick a direction,
don't
have fans scream at you, and then bail.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, all right, we're in it. Like,
that was the flowchart for the Red Sox season. Yeah,
close enough to being in it, not doing anything of consequence, pissing off fans, everybody disappears. Then the season starts again. You're kind of in it, and it's like, as bad as they were and as many, like, you know, losing streaks or whatever that they would have, you'd look at the standings, and you're like, all right, there's three wild card teams. They're two games out. Make a move. Like, make a move. Do something. Bring somebody in. And then they wouldn't, and you'd see the overall interest in the team just fall off a cliff. Because it's such a long season, and you would get to the All-Star break, you'd get to the trade deadline, and you're like, should we be committed to this team? And if you're not, why are we? And then those last 2 months, you're like, when do the Patriots play preseason? Like, when is that? I don't think that's going to be the case this year, and I think that is going to be very refreshing, that you're going to have a baseball season that starts in March and ends hopefully sometime in October. Like, I think that is going to be the season, not it ends on July 31st, and then you're like, what do I do with the rest of my summer?
So it's opening day here on Jones and Keefe. We're broadcasting from the WEEI studios. We're powered by Verizon. Your expectations for the Red Sox this year, you can jump in all day long. 617-779-7937. And how do you think they handle real expectations? From Cora on down, How do you think they handle it? Again, 617-779-7937. Here's an example of heightened expectations. We laid some of it out yesterday. From the ESPN bloggers, editors, writers yesterday.
Sure. Yeah.
MLB.com has the Red Sox winning the division. Boston hasn't enjoyed a winning season since 2021 and has finished in the AL East cellar in two of the past 3 years. But voters believe this club is primed to turn things around.
Yes.
After making two of the highest profile moves this winter. And we know who those are, Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. Mm. They say Bregman's swing should fit perfectly in Fenway Park, where he can pepper the Green Monster.
Oh, yeah, pepper it.
Crochet is the clear-cut rotation ace that they desperately needed. Those are just a couple of reasons why this could be a special one in Beantown. So
Beantown.
Those are the, yeah, clearly not a Boston writer. Those are the heightened expectations for the division.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to picking from all the playoff teams who could go on a run, the AL champion, the Boston Red Sox, according to MLB.com.
I don't love that. Like,
no?
I don't love, no, not really.
That's like, what I mean by too much.
No, but like, I love it. Like, I thought that might, be like a fun, sneaky pick for us who like been kind of following it. And like,
I don't think at 10:45 it's going to be sneaky, but let's see.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying like around. It's so many national people are sort of jumping on that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
this is what
man.
I mean by too much. This
yeah.
is what I mean.
No, I know. It does. It feels like it's a little bit much, but I kind of get where it's coming from. And it just sort of snowballs because I just don't think there's anybody you could have. There is no real chalk in the American League. So I think you're left sort of being like, all right, what moves do I like? And the Red Sox last year were 500. Like they were a 500 club. And then they make all these additions. And it's not just Crochet and Bregman. Walker Buehler is a big addition. And like they're sprinkling in the young guys. Right off the rip, you're getting Christian Campbell, which is super exciting. I don't think it'll be far off until Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer are also playing. Like that's pretty good. And at least to start the season, Trevor Story, Tristan Casas, we'll see. I know those guys are injury concerns every single year, but at least to start the year, it looks pretty good. And then especially when you compare lineup to lineup, rotation to rotation against the other contenders in the American League. I guess I understand why so many people are picking them, but it's like, I wish they'd fly a little bit more under the radar.
So here's MLB.com's logic in picking the Red Sox as the AL champion, not just the division winner. They said beyond those aforementioned names, Bregman and Crochet, established stars such as Rafael Devers and Jaron Duran, the Red Sox outlook is brightened by the players you were just talking about, uh-huh. A stellar crop of prospects. Christian Campbell, MLB Pipeline's number 7 prospect, will be on the opening day roster. Outfielder Roman Anthony, number 2. And shortstop Marcelo Meyer, number 12, may help out at some point this year, too. Injuries befall every team, and the Red Sox are well-suited to fix any holes that may appear, especially on the position player side. I would add, with a deeper farm system, you can also plug those holes by making in-season moves.
You could, yep.
Not that the Red Sox have done that the last few trade deadlines. So there's their logic in being bullish on the Red Sox. Just one more text to answer to here, because I know it's true about me. I was talking about the general fan base when I said there were no expectations for the team last year. I personally had them as a playoff team.
Oh, I did not. No, okay. I had them under.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Text line says, you two had the Sox in the playoffs for the last 4 years.
Last year? No.
Revisionist history. I did have them in the playoffs last year.
Okay, you might
but
have.
But you didn't.
Oh, my God,
I was
no.
just checking. I didn't know.
No. So
I feel like Jones revised his, like, 90 wins during the season.
No. That was Pats after they had a close game with the Seahawks.
I legit bet that last year. I bet them for 90 wins at, like, the end of April. And let me just tell you, that ticket did not cash.
No, I bet either last year.
90 wins and 15 wins for the Patriots.
Yeah, I never actually bet the Patriots. I predicted the Patriots.
I forget which year it was. Was it last year? I think I took the under, and they actually might have hit the over, but like I bet the under.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like it's, and then the year before it was like super close. But no. I did not think much of the team in the last 2 years. I do. I think a lot of the team this year.
I was just double checking.
Yeah.
So you can jump in again with your thoughts. Are the Red Sox getting too much hype? How do they handle that this year? Meanwhile,
their opening day starter a couple years ago was Corey Kluber. So you think I was high on them with the corpse of Corey Kluber starting opening day?
I kind of talked myself into that team too. Alex Cora gave what I thought was a very interesting answer yesterday.
Yeah.
When Andy Hart asked him about the expectations that Breslow is putting on Tristan Casas. 40 home runs, 100 RBIs,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Here's what Cora said when asked about his expectations for Casas. I think this is a very interesting answer.
We need him to play, right? We need him to keep him healthy. That's the most important thing. Throughout his career, he's been hurt, you know, and he's been off the field. So the more he plays, the better he's going to be. I truly believe that spot, that pocket in the lineup – it's going to be a good one, Bregman, Casas. You know, we're going to let Jaron do his thing, Rafi do his thing. Alex and Tristan, they're going to slow down the game, right? They're going to take pitches. They're going to take their walks, and that's very important. Numbers-wise, man, 40 and 120 sounds great, you know, but I think 150 games from him, that's what I want. The rest of the thing, he'll take care of that.
Okay. So on the surface level, you can say he has a point. On another level, you could say he sounds a little annoyed with Casas and how much time he's missed, and he's already dinged up in spring training.
I think he just needs to play. Well, the 41-10 thing is a Breslow thing. That's not a Casas thing. Like, as much as I'm sure Cora loses his mind, or at least rolls his eyes at the very least, at many of the actions and things that Casas says, it was Breslow that put it out there. Like, oh, yeah, I've been thinking he'd be like 41-10 or whatever. And you're like, okay, that's a pretty lofty goal. But I like how Cora's like, well, let's start with him playing. Like, we need him to play. And, you know, and then he gets into sort of the minutiae of, like, he and Bregman see a lot of pitches.
He has to be annoyed with Cassis on so many levels, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has to be. He's not out there when he, whether he's out there or not, he's opening his mouth, yapping away.
Yeah.
He's stretching in the nude or close to it.
Because it's funny. Like, just,
he's got to be annoyed with them on so many levels.
So the 2018 team, which is one of the best teams the Red Sox have ever had, Alex Cora takes over the team. They win the World Series. They had very little, like, pushback all season long. I feel like that was just a wagon from Jump Street. I'm trying to think of any real issues that he had. Did Cora have a lot of issues? Was that... They have Carson Smith that year. There's been like one guy that like didn't get along with Cora like this whole time. But I feel like they handled that pretty quickly, if that was even that year. And then they obviously had to sort of shuffle around Chris Sale in the second half, like, you know, manage him. And, you know, he ended up having to pitch in the bullpen in the playoffs. But they didn't have a ton of like adversity slash like problems. And I don't know if Casas has gone to the level of being a problem yet, but you can sort of see the early signs of it.
He's annoying. I don't know if he's
like
a problem.
Headache, right?
Yeah.
So, like, is Cora, you know, how does he manage that? Because one of the big responsibilities for Cora or any baseball manager nowadays, because so much of it is based on stats, is just managing the personalities. And you already had a couple of things you got to deal with right off the rip. So you got Rafael Devers not wanting to change positions. Then you got Tristan Casas just the character that he is. You know, factor in Garrett Crochet without a contract extension. Like, these all little things are hanging over the team that Cora is going to have to deal with.
So that is on Cora, and I've maintained for a while now, those are the kind of things I think that could bring the Red Sox down if they don't meet the expectations we're talking about. Maybe win the division, maybe win the pennant, certainly be a playoff team and improve on their win total from a year ago. Like, I think that's the baseline for a successful year for the Red Sox. And then if they win the division, do they make a run? We can cross that bridge when we get there. But they need to, you know, win in the mid to high 80s and be a playoff team at minimum this year. I think that's the kind of stuff that can drag them down. You know, Cassis squawking over here, Devers squawking over there, Crochet's not happy about the lack of a contract extension, because I don't think their talent is the issue. I mean, they're a top 7 team in the American League. They should be a playoff team. I'm sorry, 6 team.
Yeah.
In the American League, they should be a playoff team.
For sure, yeah.
Based on talent, what would drag them down would be that other thing. And so you already hear, I think, in that answer, maybe I'm reading too much into it, Cora's like, dude, the guy just needs to play. Just be out
just
there.
Just play. Let's start with that.
And then
How many games?
We'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
So you can jump in all day long. Opening day here on WEEI. Red Sox are in Texas. They get the Rangers. You get Garrett Crochet against old friend Nathan Eovaldi, who we got some info on Eovaldi from Rob Bradford. We'll talk to him at 11:30. We have our Dong Draft Pool at 11 o'clock.
Woo!
4 men, 5 picks each. That's right. 20 players and all the dongs you can handle at 11 o'clock. Plus, we'll make our MLB predictions later on this hour.
Did he specifically say, hey, once opening day gets here, don't want to talk about a new deal, or is it something that you guys can have an ongoing discussion about?
You know, there's not going to discuss any negotiations that are happening in private or discussions. There's no baseball MLB rule or deadline, but we will follow Garrett's lead in terms of the desire to have conversations, given the nature where he's here. He's like I said, anchoring our rotation, and any discussions about what happens 2-3 years from now, we'll keep private.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI opening day. Happy Woo! To all who celebrate the second of the holiest high holiday.
It's right up there.
Sports holidays out there.
Last Thursday, tournament gets underway. That's
I kind of boxed
day.
Myself yeah. in by saying that last week.
Next month, you get WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Two-night affair.
We already
Saturday and Sunday.
We already settled our Mount Rushmore for best sporting days on the calendar.
This is one of them.
It's
Red Sox opening day. It's not Major League Baseball's opening day. They obviously did that in Japan, but the Red Sox opening day is today.
And then you get Tampa because of their dome that they're playing in. They figured one extra day would solve that, so Tampa opens tomorrow.
Great.
Which I still don't get. One day, they're like, we need a day.
Guys, it's kind of a mess, but tomorrow we should be good. Like, okay.
We have
all our best men working on it.
I didn't quite get that.
Yeah.
Not to laugh at the misfortune down there, but I didn't quite get the extra day there. So you can jump in all day long, 617-779-7937. We'll give you all our MLB predictions coming up about 15 minutes from now at 10:45 and at 11 o'clock sharp. You're not going to want to miss it.
Ooh, boy.
Our dong pool draft.
I'm excited for
most
this.
Home runs. We'll be following it all season long. We'll be drafting live at 11 o'clock. Don't miss it. Bradfoe, 11:30. We'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket at 11:45. So lots of good stuff for you today on opening day here on WEEI. You heard Sam Kennedy this morning, front office report on the Greg Hill Show, discussing Garrett Crochet, his contract extension. We're not going to talk about it. Crochet said, once we hit opening day, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be asked about it. Obviously, they're going to be exchanging numbers, I'd imagine, once a week all year long. Like, I know they both say they don't want to talk about it, but the Red Sox will be negotiating through Crochet and his agent. Proof being, Alex Cora said he didn't want to talk about it last year, and they announced an extension in season. I heard Middlebrooks today with Greg.
Yeah.
And he said if the Red Sox offered 5 years, 125, and he was Crochet, he'd take it.
He's not Crochet.
Yeah, he is definitely not.
Listen, I'd take it too. If he offered me 5 for 5, I'd take it.
Right.
But I'm not him. And if he's betting on himself, and he kind of strikes me as a guy that would be, I think you pitch out the season, and then 125 turns into 225, 325. Seriously, Yamamoto never pitched in the majors. I know it's apples to oranges. He's just a straight-up free agent. He doesn't have 2 years of control. So I understand that you're not going to get the same amount as Yamamoto. But never even pitched in the majors. Got 12 for 325. You think this guy's taking 125?
I don't think 125.
I don't think so.
I've said before, if they plunk down the Max Fried deal in front of him.
Yeah.
And Fried is older, but Fried was also a free agent and had all the baseball bidding on him.
And a track record, too.
A track record of being top five in the Cy Young, and he doesn't have the long injury history of Garrett Crochet. If they plunk down the Max Fried, Corbin Burns deal in front of him.
Yeah.
And he said no, I would side with the Red Sox. I'd be like, that is a fair offer to get something done for Garrett Crochet. It's not top dollar Yamamoto.
No. But, and that's extreme. But
the team is taking on some risk with you.
No doubt.
And so I think that would be fair. 5-125 would be insulting, and that's probably what the Red Sox are offering.
They might be. Yeah, 125, I mean, it's a ton of money, but that doesn't put you in the top 10 for pitcher contracts. Burns and Fried both got over 200 total value this offseason. Burns is 6 for 210. Fried is 8 for 218. Now, there's a lot of different ways to sort of go around that because they were free agents, but they were also 30.
Correct.
So Crochet has 2 years of team control, but he's 25. So out of all the top contracts in all of baseball, all those guys signed late 30s or 30s. So like he also has that. Now, I guess what you would say if you're the Red Sox is, well, 5 for 125, yeah, that's $25 million a year, but what it also does is it gives you a big raise over these 2 years. So if you just play out this year, you're making whatever it is, not a lot.
Right.
Same with next year.
He has a big year, he'll make something in arbitration, but it won't be that.
Yeah. No, it won't be $25
million. Right.
So you sort of have to look at it that way, but I just...
And you'd hit the market again at 30. So, I mean, there is value in taking a five-year deal now. You'd hit the market a second time at 30 as opposed to waiting 2 years, really cashing in, and hitting it again at, whatever, 32.
Now, if I'm Crochet, the only way I would sign that is if there's, like, a lot of opt-outs. But if I'm the Red Sox, what's the point of doing that?
Right.
Right? Because it's like, did you sign Alex Bregman to a three-year deal or a one-year deal? Well, it's up to him.
So, best-case scenario, Keith.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not best-case scenario. Best guess, rather.
Okay.
Do they get a contract extension worked out with Crochet this season?
No.
I don't think so either.
Because opening day is at 4 o'clock today. Or no, 3 o'clock? No, 4. What's the first pitch?
4.
Pre-game 3:05 here. Yes. First pitch 4:05. So unless they get a deal done in the next 6 hours, I don't think they get a deal done.
Okay, got it.
I think Crochet, like, I'll believe Crochet.
Because you think Crochet won't negotiate in season?
Yeah.
I'll buy that for a second. You don't think he'll negotiate in season?
Well, I don't think, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't think he wants to, and I think his agent would be the one that does it, and he'd probably say, like, don't even wake me up until it's over $200 million, and I don't think it'll get over $200 million. So maybe a little nuance. Maybe it's not that they won't negotiate. I just don't think it's going to get to the point where they're really going to have a sit down. I don't think either one's going to be serious enough about it.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. If they gave him his number in June, he'd take it.
Yeah.
They're not going to give him his number. No, I agree.
Do you think he has a number? Do you think they've communicated the number? Or do you think it's just sort of like, what do you think the number is?
Well,
because it's a bit of a standoff because, like, he's under team control for 2 years. So does his agent say, like, does his agent approach the Red Sox and is like, this is what we want? Or do the Red Sox approach him and be like, hey, let's try to do this? Because the Red Sox have gone to some of their other guys who are under team control, and they got Bayo, they got Rafaela to agree to deals, but Casas was like, no.
I guess I don't know, because Crochet reportedly was pretty demanding at the trade deadline last year. So maybe he came right out and was like, yeah, this is my number and I want it, or via his agent.
Yeah.
My guess is, and this is the guess, the way it mostly goes is you wait until the team approaches you, see where they're at, and then maybe you counter, or maybe you don't, depending on how insulting the offer is. You say, guys, we'll just play this out. But
I don't think they get something done.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But I think it's because the team is probably closer to where Middlebrooks is at than the Max Fried deal we were discussing, or the Corbin Burns deal we were discussing.
Yeah, this could be tricky, too, because then if you don't get a deal done this season, now you go into next year, and you're like, all right, you still have a chance, right? He's coming back, hopefully off a really good year, like for both parties. And then you're saying, all right, let's get something done. But then if you're him, you're saying, well, price has gone way up.
Right.
And I'm only 1 year away from everybody bidding on me. So
yeah, so this is the thing with him.
Yeah.
I have no problem if they don't pay him right now. I don't care.
Same.
But if John Henry is worried about paying a pitcher $350 million or whatever, $400 million, and he's not going to do that, well, then you better get out there and pay him now. Because if he does what you think he's going to do, what we all hope he's going to do, the price tag's only going up. So if you're willing to pay that in a year, go ahead, drag it out. I don't care. But if you're never willing to pay that, then I don't get what they're dragging their feet on.
So not to get tied down to like the minutiae of all the different details, but like, would you be, as the Red Sox, open to a deal where, let's say it's 5 for $125 like Middlebrooks suggested, but there's an opt-out after the third year? So meaning Crochet gets a huge bump this year and next year, which you wouldn't make $50 million over the next 2 years.
You get an extra year of control.
One more year, and then you're like, all right, then we can see what you're doing. That might be fair for both.
Yeah.
Because he gets a huge raise for 2 years, which I don't think should be completely overlooked. And, yeah, you're not locking him up for 10 years, but it's also a pitcher. That could be a dangerous game to lock somebody up for 10 years.
Something like that.
That could be a win-win.
That could be a win-win. You get an extra year of control. He gets some money up front. He's still hitting the market at age, whatever it is, 28.
27 or 8, yeah. And so, he could make a huge killing, whether it's from you or somebody else.
Something like that. 5-125, you can opt out after year 3 and 4, and maybe something like that.
Because if it was 5-125 with no opt-outs, I feel like that'd be not a smart signing by Crochet.
I'd laugh in their face if I were Crochet and his agent.
Yeah, because the contracts, I'd be like, Bregman, now I know Bregman has a track record, but Bregman just got $40 million average annual, and you're trying to lock me in for 25 for the next 5 years? Like, I don't think he's signing that.
What are your actual expectations today? I was on the betting apps this morning, Keith.
Haas of the week. He's going to be the Haas of the week for many, many weeks, I feel like, this year. What's the overall? Oh, you were on the betting apps? What's his strikeout at?
6.5.
Over.
Well, I mean, I absolutely bet it. So I mean, too late.
Was that in the first 3 innings?
I bet the crap out of that today.
Give me the over.
It was minus money for the over. I forget.
Yeah.
It was minus. I don't recall. 105, something like that. But it was minus money for the over. But I bet it. You better believe I bet it.
I am all in.
So no, I mean, it's exciting to have a guy like this that you're looking forward to seeing, and he could punch out 15 today for all we know.
You know what I mean?
Like it could be. Not that he's Pedro. But it could be like one of those starts where he gets on the mound and you're like, when's the last time we saw this? So that's
probably Sale.
That's in play. Yeah, Sale's a good one.
And Sale came in, he was much more established. But when Sale first came over, that was a massive deal. When they got him, I think they traded for him at the very, like, December of 2016. So he was ready to go for the 17 season. And that was a big deal. Like, I'm not going to, just because it ended really poorly.
No.
Sale was a beast for a while.
Probably for the first time since Sale.
It was probably Pedro. Like, maybe, was there a season or two of Beckett?
Yeah.
So it was probably Pedro.
But Beckett's first season was poor, right? I thought they got Beckett in 06.
All right, let me double check. Oh, so then the next year. Yeah, I'm telling you, he was an other year guy.
Yeah, I thought, so Beckett in 07 was a monster. I thought Beckett's first year
was 06. Yeah, he was not great.
5 year, right?
Yeah, and I think.
He did. Then he won 20 games in 07 and was second in the Cy Young. So 07, he was great. The team was obviously great, too.
But you were excited to see Beckett.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, those type of games were in play. That's back in play with this guy.
Oh, but over the last 25 years, I don't think it's hyperbole to say he's one of the five most, like, anticipated starters to see every fifth day.
So what are your expectations for the Red Sox and Garrett Crochet? You can jump in here. Carter is in Malden. Go ahead, Carter.
Carter.
Morning, guys. Sorry about that.
All good.
Hey, quick question. What's the hurry to lock this guy up, though? I mean, his arm's going to fall off, possibly.
So, Carter,
possible.
In general, I kind of agree with you. What's the hurry? What best I can tell, the hurry would be if John Henry doesn't want to pay a pitcher $300 million, then pay this guy now because the price tag's only going up. That would be the urgency in doing it now.
Yeah, risky. Very risky. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't like it. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
He is risky.
No, I get it. That's a fair take. He is.
Like, that's fair to say.
He's risky, but you and I also aren't spending that extra $100 million. So you and I are both like, you know what? Pitch the next 2 years for all I care, then offer him $300 million.
Right.
But I don't think that's how they do business
there. I don't either.
So, yeah.
And I'm also, look, it's easy to say it's not my money. Yeah. I'm not risk averse. And the Red Sox are the kind of team that can take on a risky deal. You know, you're the Kansas City Royals or the Florida Marlins or whatever. You can't do that.
Right.
You're the Red Sox. You can do that.
I mean, you paid Chris Sale to win the Cy Young somewhere else. You paid Ruznick Castillo to just rake at Pawtucket for years.
You're about to pay Yoshida
Panda,
to go play
Crawford,
somewhere else.
You paid all these guys.
Yeah. So what's another bad contract? 617-779-7937. All your thoughts all day long. Red Sox opening day here on Jones and Keefe. We have our Dong Pool draft at 11 o'clock sharp. We're going to be drafting home runs coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. Plus, all our MLB predictions. Red Sox have a shot at the World Series. Is there an MVP on the team? I think you know who the Cy Young could be. And how many All-Stars do the Red Sox have? We'll get into all those and more next. Jones and Keefe, WEEI, it's opening day. You got the Red Sox and the Rangers pregame, a little after 3 o'clock here on WEEI. First pitch, a little after 4 o'clock. Garrett Crochet. I think we have him penciled in for 15 Ks today.
He should dominate.
Against Nathan Eovaldi. We'll talk to Rob Bradford, as we do every Thursday at 11:30. He's got some good intel on the Red Sox and their pursuit of Nathan Eovaldi this offseason, plus all his thoughts on opening day. We'll also do our live Dong Draft Pool coming up at 11 o'clock sharp. Most home runs in Major League Baseball. Who's going to pick them? Me, Keith, Terp, Nick, Billy. Find out live at 11. In the meantime, we did this during the NFL season. We made all of our NFL predictions right before opening kickoff. Yes. Who won that, by the way? Was that Billy, too?
I think Billy might have.
Did you win that, too, Billy?
I forget. I might have.
Yeah. Wow. You might have taken it home.
Billy's our top draft prospect, and he also won our NFL predictions.
My Drake May Week 6 start, I think, put me over the edge.
Yeah, that might have been the tiebreaker. Good work there, Bill. So we'll do the same thing for Major League Baseball. We're going to predict how many All-Stars on the Red Sox, Cy Young winners in both leagues, MVP in both leagues, and your World Series matchup. So let's start with Keith. Who do you have in the World Series?
I'm going partly chalk, I guess. I'll take the LA Dodgers. I think it's just so overwhelming what they've done. I'm sorry. Sorry to do it. And I'm also going to apologize. I'm very high on the Red Sox, but not that high. So I'm going to go Dodgers over Kansas City Royals.
Oh, nice.
I'm going in with the Royals.
I think I know
who Keith. Dodgers to World Series.
That's right.
I think I know who Keith's MVP is in the
American probably
League.
Yeah, you probably do. Usually there's a little bit of a theme. But no, like the Dodgers thing is just so overwhelming. Like if they don't win, like what a story that is. Like they've become a real villain. That's the team everybody's chasing. It's sort of like the Yankees. The Yankees had that run. That's now the Dodgers. Their lineup's insane. They got like 10 starting pitchers that would be the number one or two on like most teams. It's outrageous what they're doing. So I'll take the Dodgers. But in the American League, I'll take the Kansas City Royals.
Okay.
What you got?
I have the Philadelphia Phillies over your Boston Red Sox.
Ooh, the Dombrowski Bowl.
Dave Dombrowski taking down the Red Sox. Phillies plus 1,000 to win the World Series. Red Sox plus 1,800 to get there.
That's a good one.
So that would be my matchup. I'm buying into the Red Sox hype. I'm part of the problem, Keith.
Yeah, I guess so.
With too much hype, too much expectations around the Red Sox, that's me.
Uh-huh.
So Keith has Dodgers over Royals. I have Phillies over Red Sox. Billy, who you got?
Opening day, my inner honk really comes out around this time of the year.
I like it.
All good.
Red Sox over Phillies.
Wow. Same.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So same matchup.
In my
different
face,
outcome.
Phillies.
Ah, I thought I was really getting in front of that one. Good job.
Well, the Phillies are a good team.
No, they are.
Taking down Dave Dombrowski. Red Sox revenge. Good, score one for John Henry, says Billy. Nick, who are you going with?
Three honks. But I have the Braves over the Red Sox.
Okay.
The
uniform sucked you in. I can see what's going on there. Yeah.
So they're hopefully going to be healthy this year. So I got the Braves winning it all.
Okay.
Man, I do have the Sox in the ALCS. I know you didn't ask, but I do have them there.
What a Red Sox hater, Keith. I do like the team a lot this year.
This is
like when Keith got boxed out on Baker Mayfield.
He's like, what? Wait a minute. I thought I was high on these guys.
You hate the Red Sox.
Not high enough.
Okay. Three of us have the Red Sox in the World Series. Billy has them winning it. Okay, let's get to our MVPs, American and National League. Who you got, Keith?
Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the MVP. I think he might be the best like all-around player in baseball. We'll show Ohtani aside. I think he's the best all-around player, but best all-around player in the American League. I think it's a great debate between he and Gunnar Henderson. Obviously, Judge smacks a ton of ding-dongs, but I'll take Bobby Witt. And then in the National League, this is where I will put my money where my mouth is.
Okay.
Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is a boss.
This is definitively your guy.
Kyle Tucker is my guy. He is the most underrated player in baseball. He is going to quietly dominate this season. And in baseball, too, we've seen many years where you don't need to be on the best team to be the MVP. So if you kind of overwhelm people with some stats, you kind of, if I'm not going with Ohtani, maybe he has to get hurt or something. So I will go with Kyle Tucker.
Okay. So I agree. You don't need to be on the best team to win the AL MVP. I actually have Vladdy in the American League plus 1400.
Nice.
Contract year, yeah. Mashing. The thing that holds me back is Toronto, a playoff team. You at least got to be a decent team to win MVP. You don't have to be the best team the American League. I'll go with Vladdy, though, at plus 1400. And then I have the Phillies going far, so Bryce Harper in the NL, nice. Also plus 1400.
Nice. Both? I also chose Vladdy Jr.
Okay,
a lot of contract talk, a lot of trade talk. Yep. I think he's going to mash this season. And for the NL, I went with another junior, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Nice. Ooh, I like that.
I do like Fernando Tatis.
Maybe a preview for 11 o'clock. We'll see. Nick?
I also went with Bobby Witt Jr. for the American League. I was between him and Gunnar Henderson, but Witt is very good.
It's a good pick.
And I also went with Francisco Lindor for the National League. He was way up there last year. I think he continues that season this year.
Okay.
I like it.
Those are our MVP picks. How about the Cy Young, Keith?
All right, so I'm going to go Garrett Crochet. A couple weeks ago was saying, you know, as long as this guy makes 30 starts or thereabouts, I think he is going to win the Cy Young. He's going to have a pile of strikeouts. I think the team is going to be good. Maybe I don't think it's going to be quite as good as you guys do, but I think they're going to be a playoff team. So I think he's going to hit the over on his wins, the over on his strikeouts, and probably the under on his ERA when we were doing all those numbers before. And then the National League, I did like the favorite quite a bit, but I'm going to go with another one of my guys. Back in the NL, pitcher for the Snakes is Corbin Burns. So give me Corbin Burns, return to the NL, wins a Cy Young.
Okay, so this is my one chalky pick. I went Skeens in the National League. He's plus 200. He's fun. How could you not root for him? I think he can win the Cy Young. I went with your Kansas City Royals, Cole Reagans, in the American League, plus 850 to take home the Cy Young. I think those were third best odds. Mm-hmm. So those are my Cy Young picks. Billy?
Okay, so I'm going with Max Fried of the Yankees.
Ooh.
My pick with Garrett Cole out. Light shine on him a little bit.
Yep.
And then from the NL, I went with the NL champs. I went with Zach Wheeler as the NL Cy Young winner.
I like it.
Makes sense.
Very good.
In fact, I probably should have done that. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
I feel like I went a little chalky. I went Tark Skubal going back-to-back Cy Youngs.
Well, somebody's going to have that.
And
that's good.
Paul Skeens for the National League. Yeah. I kind of want to do Skeens MVP and
ooh,
Cy Young.
Well, too late for that.
But the Pirates probably are not going to be good enough for him to be the MVP.
Fair. How many guys, as research project for Rich Keith Stats and Info in the next break? No, how many guys have won back-to-back Cy Youngs?
Oh, probably a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy did it. Yeah, probably more than
right, probably a ton of guys.
It happens
probably
more often than not, Jones.
Yeah.
All right, we'll look that up. Red Sox All-Stars, how many and who are they, Keith?
So I'm only going to go with three. I think Garrett Crochet.
Seven!
Yeah. Garrett Crochet, obviously. He might even be a candidate to start the All-Star game. And, you know, whether or not he does is based on when he pitches. I think Jarren Duran does have another good year. Jarren Duran was a beast last year. He was fifth in WAR. So even if he drops off, it's still more than enough to be an American League All-Star. And I'll take Bregman at the old hot corner. I think Alex Bregman has a good year.
So we have
same guys?
Exact same three. I thought maybe you'd go Devers over Bregman. I have Duran. No. You'll hear in our Red Sox season preview, I'm pretty bullish on Duran. I've been bullish all along on Bregman. And Crochet, I don't have him winning the Cy Young, but he should absolutely be an All-Star. So 1, 2, 3. Me and Keith are the same. Billy smiling. Go ahead.
Crochet, Duran, Bregman.
So none of us have Devers so far.
No.
Nick?
Well, I only have two. Devers, Crochet.
What a hater. I thought Keith hated the Red Sox. You hate the Red Sox.
I love the Red Sox.
Interesting.
Bregman's going to have to beat up guys like Jose Ramirez and stuff, though, so I don't know if he's going to get in.
In the American League, 86-87, Roger Clemens back-to-back Cy Young. In 97-98, Roger Clemens back-to-back Cy Young. 99-2000, Pedro back-to-back Cy Young. Then there was a lot of non-back-to-back guys. Okay. Verlander had a gap in between his.
So Clemens and Pedro, that's it?
Greg Maddux won four straight.
Yeah.
So that's back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Randy Johnson
that's two
won.
Back-to-backs.
Randy Johnson won four straight. Also back-to-back-to-back.
So the National League, Keith. These are apples and oranges.
Tim Lincecum won back-to-back. Clayton Kershaw won back-to-back. Max Scherzer won back-to-back. Jacob DeGrom won back-to-back.
Okay, so in the National League, it happens quite often.
Sure.
But with Skubal?
Skubal, no. It seems
you
like
gotta
it's
got to be Clemens or Pedro.
Good point.
Okay, so in your face, Nick.
Yep.
So those are our Red Sox season predictions. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. You can listen live there. You can listen to old segments. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss a thing from WEEI, including our Dong Pool Draft.
Woo!
It's live, and it's next.